from PRX.
Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for the podcaster who's, I was just thinking about recycling some papers that I have scattered around me that I have to be careful. Like I said, it's time to recycle some paper, Scoots. I recycle my, like if I had jokes, I would recycle them. But I have, they're half cycle, they're like a halfway cycled jokes. I don't have any cycling jokes either. Because I wouldn't even know where to start. Say, well, flat tires. I don't know, that might be a punchline. You'd say stripped gears. So if you're confused, if you're in search of a setup, and but you just got a punchline, and or you say, well, there's a setup. You know, once a bikelist rides into a bar, you're in the right place because it's time for Sleep With Me. It's full of incomplete thoughts, incomplete jokes. It's a podcast that puts you to sleep. And these are the ways we're able to be here for you for free twice a week. But this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. With just a few questions. If you're new to this show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking, if the answer to those questions are yes, yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like I do need, like we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix Sleep Quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box, straight straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. All right, everybody. It is time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the podcast I need to hear. It's where I pop my peas, if you please. I thank the listeners who supported the sponsors, and I'm looking for people to thank here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone. If you support a sponsor, make sure to thank them on social media. Let them know you heard about them on the show. Our sponsors are Direct Response. Let me know about it, too. SleepingMePodcast.com/sponsors, and I will send you a thank you video because I appreciate it. I appreciate you helping keep the show free for everybody. So please, if you listen to the show for free, check out our sponsors at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. That's what keeps the podcast coming out for free for everybody. The next part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need. If you're having a tough time right now, there's links to resources that you could connect with, including international resources, right in our show notes. It's also about being a part of community and positive change, not just saying Black Lives Matter, not just saying stop AAPI hate, not just saying support Ukraine, but taking action. There's links to resources where you can learn more and take action in our show notes. And, you know, one of the things we're doing is building hygiene kits for people experiencing homelessness. We're supporting the Midnight Mission. We're doing live shows with Zooms, gathering as a community, working together, taking small steps and having fun doing it. I'd love for you to be there. It's all free. You don't even have to do anything if you don't want to. And you could sign up for free, come to our live shows, free streams. SleepWithMePodcast.com/Midnight Mission. SleepWithMePodcast.com/Midnight Mission. Every Monday, you'll get a newsletter with a video from me. Very simple, just talking about what we're doing, what we got coming up. I'd love for you to be there. I'd love to see you in person. We just had a live show. We had a bunch of people come out in person and on Zoom. It was so much fun. So be a part of it. SleepWithMePodcast.com/Midnight Mission. Oh, Mystery Bart, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
Poster song.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
And edits episodes too.
Carl W. the Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer.
Runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors.
You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna like banana. Leah does the transcripts.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. Again, I'd love to see you for free in person. You want more Sleep With Me? You want more Scooter? You want more fun stuff? You want to be a part of something? Be a part of our community. SleepWithMePodcast.com/Midnight Mission. Please join us there. SleepWithMePodcast.com/Midnight Mission. What do you say we slow it down and get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, you know, thoughts on your mind, thoughts that you're thinking about. So thoughts, thinking thoughts. Feelings, so anything you're feeling that's coming up for you emotionally. So thoughts, feelings, physical sensations. Anything maybe you're feeling physically. Whatever it is that's keeping you awake, I'm here to take you to keep you company and take your mind off of it. I guess my mind is bouncing around here. But like I'm basically here... To be near your bedside or far away from your bedside, but have my voice within distance that you can just kind of listen to something else. And then I can kind of lightly comfort you, keep you company and take your mind off whatever's keeping you awake. Because you deserve a good night's sleep. That's really why I'm here, and to attempt to provide that. And the way I attempt to do it is a little bit different than most stuff out there. And I'll explain all that coming up here. But the first thing I do is I try to create a safe place that you could come visit, or I could send it to you, or you could look at it from far away, or move slowly closer, or say, okay, that's close enough. And I relate to that. If my mind hasn't said that, my body has. Or my nonverbal communication, or the furrow between my eyes, which is probably my furrow, the furrow between my brows has gone verbal. I got a message from a seismologist. They said, I believe the furrow between your eyes has gone fully verbal. And I said, great. I said, great. Does that mean it's still I don't know. Maybe one day I'll do a podcast. I guess I could do that. That could be what the next episode we do about my furrow and my brow. I don't know what we'll do about it, but I think I'm going to write that down. So I guess that's what later on we'll be talking about. When I was writing down, I just wrote it down. I cut that out. But then I was writing ideas, and I said, "What about fast and furrow? Furious furrow?" At first, I thought, and I said, "Well, that's not very sleepy." And then I said, "What about fast and furrowous?" And said, "Maybe." So we'll see. But so, what was it about the furrow in my? Oh, it went verbal. Why was that important? I don't know. But I'm here to keep you. I said that's close enough. I think that's usually my furrow does that. Where it's says, I'm thinking about something, but I'm not willing to talk about it. So true, right? You some of you might be able to relate. If you've been, and then if you're on the receiving end of a furrow, I have resting furrow face, though, unfortunately. I do. I'm always there could be, we wouldn't need that on a t-shirt because it's already apparent. But it's not you. It's me. This the furrow up there, it's not you. It's me. But it could be you. But then it would still be me. But it might be you. So if my brow's furrowed, it might not be you. But maybe think about if it is, so then I don't have to talk about it. But that would make it me. So this could be another one of our super long t-shirts that we never sell. So there's that. What was my point? The pointed furrow. So whatever's keeping you awake, I'm here to keep you company and take your mind off it because your sleep's important. So yeah, I've got a safe place set aside. Then I'll send it across my voice across the deep dark night. I'll use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, which means I'm going to go off a topic. I'm going to get mixed up. I'll go back, then I'll forget what I was talking about. You just kind of saw that. Then I'll say, what is this? 40 furious furrows, fantastically, I don't know. So frosted French, French fudge. No, because that's not a tongue twister. But that's me brainstorming a tongue twister in the middle of trying to introduce a sleep podcast. So if you're new, I'm glad you're here. Let me give you some information. Because if you're new, you may be skeptical, you may be doubtful, you may be more extreme feelings than that. So I want to kind of soothe that for you and give you some information. But that's a normal way to come to the show. That's how most people get here. Because maybe you tried a ton of stuff to fall asleep. Maybe you've been searching for something for a long time. You haven't found anything to help. Maybe you tried a bunch of different stuff out. Maybe somebody told you about this show. You said, what? What is this person talking about? That's normal. So don't worry about it. It takes most regular listeners, like fans of the show, in the feedback I get, it takes them 2 or 3 tries to get into the podcast. So just see how it goes. I'm going to give you a little bit of stuff. I mean, the first thing, like I said, the most important thing is you. You deserve a good night's sleep and a place you can rest. You deserve a bedtime you at least feel neutral about, if not that you could look forward to. not one you dread. And you deserve the rest so your life is more manageable. If you're getting the rest you need, your life's going to be better. And that really means the world I'm in is better to be in. If your life's a little bit better and manageable, and then if you're out there flourishing, yeah, that's important, right? It's important to me, and it really is true. Like, you deserve it. And I've been there. That's the other reason. You say, well, you don't know me. So how do you know? And I say, well, because I've been there. I've been on the other side of it, tossing, you know, all that stuff. So I know I'm dreading bedtime. I know how that feels, or waking up. So if I can help, it's important to me. Now, that's the one caveat. This show just doesn't work for everybody. But see how it goes. And a couple of reasons it doesn't work for everybody. One, it's kind of hard at first to listen to a podcast that you're only barely supposed to listen to, because your expectation might be, okay, when are you going to put me to sleep, or when's the bedtime story going to start, or how does this work? And it just kind of works like this. I mean, it will tell a story. I guess tonight it'll be about my furrowed brow or whatever. Probably won't be that straightforward, because my furrow ain't straightforward. I mean, it's straightforward in its messaging. Like, what if one day someone's like, we elected, like, so that person, Scooter, is not the president of the United States. The furrow in his brow is running the country. They elected that. Not his furrow. There was a different one. Look, they look similar depth and intensity. You say, okay, at least that was a dream Scooter had. So not a dream, like a dream I had, not a dream. I mean, it's a made imaginary dream. Sorry. Not a dream I aspire, but just a dream that I could have had at night when I was sleeping. Oh, so what was I trying to say? Oh, so this is a show you don't really listen to. You just kind of barely pay attention. It's always going and never starting. It's always going nowhere. So just kind of see how it goes. So that's one thing, is the show's very different. Just kind of see how it goes. And it's not for everybody, but give it a few tries. Because not listening to a podcast, it's almost like I'm your friend talking to you in the deep, dark night. I'm not even here to put you to sleep. I'm here to keep you company. To be your boyfriend, your boar bae, your boar sib, your boar bestie, your boar burr, your neighbor, your boar bud. Your friend in the deep, dark night, to keep you company. So that's what my job is. That's what I'm here for. What else do you need to know? This podcast you don't really listen to. It doesn't really put you to sleep. Oh, structure the show. So the show is structured very differently, which some people, it's hard at first, but the show is structured in a way you can adjust it as you become a regular listener. But it's kind of built around the specific goals of the podcast. So this podcast starts off with a greeting, friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Then I say something silly, or ideally barely, almost witty, nearly witty, and to try to win you over, but also so you feel seen and welcomed in. You say, okay, this is a safe place, at least I could check out and look into. So that's the greeting. Then there's a support for the show, because my goal is that the podcast comes out twice a week for free. A lot of hard work has gone into the show since we started it in 2013 to make every single episode. But I prefer that the podcast come out for free twice a week so that you can listen, and you can listen wherever you want to, whatever podcast app you like. So the sponsors and the listeners who support the show are what enable us to do that. Then there's support for listeners if you're having a tough time, and then there's support for communities around the podcast. Then there's an intro, and that we're like 10 minutes into it. And the intro is where I go on and on and on to introduce the podcast. It's separate from the support. It is a show within a show, and it serves two purposes. One, to introduce the podcast to new listeners, but for both regular listeners and new listeners, the intro is also part of the wind down, or the turn down, or like a buffer between being awake and going to sleep. And that's the only thing that's really worked for me, is having some kind of wind down routine. And so the intro is a part of that, right? And it just gives you some space to ease into bedtime. And I guess that's what the intro does. It's a buffer. Some people are listening while they're getting ready for bed. Some people are petting their pets. Some listeners are in bed, like relaxing. Some are asleep. About 2% of people skip ahead to 20 minutes, but many more people listen to story-only episodes on Patreon. So it's like kind of, yeah, you can kind of see how it goes. There's actually more people that like to, listening to the intros than the stories in the paid version, but it's pretty close. So just to kind of see how it goes at first, but the intro, at least it'll help because this podcast is just not going to put you to sleep instantly. It's here to keep you company and help you drift into bedtime, like landing, like a slow landing strip. So that's the intro. Then there's support between the intro and the show. Again, podcast can come out twice a week for free, and it can support all the work that goes into the show. And then there's the story, which tonight apparently will be about a furrowed brow. I'm going to have to do some research or something. And then there'll be some thank yous at the end of the show. So this is a structure show. That's why I make the show. I'm really glad you're here. I really appreciate you checking the podcast out, giving me your time. And I really hope I can help you fall asleep. Thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways I'm able to do it for you for free twice a week. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. All right, everybody, it's Scoots here, and this is it's going to be interesting. Fast and the Furrow. This is a story about a furrow and a brow. Oh boy, is it. It's called Fast and Furrow. I was trying to say, I'm not doing this as a bit either. I wrote it down. You'd just be surprised that saying it is much harder than writing it. I mean, not spelling it. Furrow, fury. Us, furrow us, fast and furrow us. There we go. Feels like it, that's net, but that's the story we're telling tonight. Because once upon a time, there was a being, you know, we'll just call it, what do you call it? It's like above the bridge of my nose, right? And in the middle of my forehead. Forbridge. Oh boy, there was someone named Forbridge a long, long time ago. And they were a big fan of, we'll see how much I can remember of the, they were a big fan of bikes. Holy cow, did they love bike riding. And they loved riding their bike. Now, they only rode their bike for leisure, though. And that now, not to say, what was the name of the thing? Forbridge. Now, Forbridge came from a family in a world where that's what you did, is you rode a bike for leisure. And I guess there was a unsophisticated message also broadcast, because part of, you know, deep down, old, Forbridge, I just don't, you know, getting names down is not always my forte, except for Will Forte. That's what I was, if you had, Forbridge, it should be easy to remember. You'd think it'd be easy to say, just like Fast and Furrow is now easy to say. But so as old Forbridge, Forbridge like would secretly see people going by on their bikes fast. We're just talking about bicycles. They lived in a bicycle friendly world. A lot like ours though, you know, there was other but you know, maybe it was in a different, you know, Northern European clime. I don't know. Well, that's short for climate. I think they even have words for it, bikes and pedestrians first, fantasy. That's what part of my brain said wonderful fantasy, just like this fiction here. So, but old Forbridge loved riding bikes. And when they'd be out with the family would scoff at those people going by really fast, even if they weren't going really that fast. And they'd say, you know, bikes are for this is for relaxing and leisure. That's why we ride our bikes. Also, as a part of a leisurely experience, you know, we may go get a cone of, you know, if you, do you want to go fast or do you want a cone of creamed ice, Forbridge? And as a lad, of course, Forbridge would say, well, I'd like to go fast and have ice cream in their head. But they knew better. That old mama and papa, Bridge, you know, whatever their names were, I don't know, Mom and Papa Bridge. In this world, your name, don't worry about it. And so Forbridge, you said, well, I'd like both. But they say, okay, I prefer the creamed ice. And you say, okay, well, biking's for leisure, right? And eventually, like a lot of us, you know, Forbridge would see people going fast. And, you know, is it like the way, you know, Forbridge saw, you know, Mama and Papa were his heroine and his hero. And they did the best job they could, you know, with Forbridge, which wasn't always easy. You know, the paths we bike on are not all perfect asphalt, you know. And some of us make an asphalt out of you know, ourselves and our bikes, and, you know, it's just a part of life. You know, like Papa Forbridge would say, sometimes, you ride on the asphalt, and sometimes the asphalt, rides on you every once in a while. And until Forbridge experienced that, said, what, Papa? I don't, and one day you'll understand. Also, it's a metaphor, and it's not a metaphor. And Forbridge said, okay, Papa, so don't go fast. We ride for leisure. We ride for the love of being in some sort of balance, being propelled forward on a machine that may or may not be efficient. I've heard it described in such a way. And they do, you know, they would do things like whistle and hum and, you know, special occasions. They didn't go caroling, believe it or not, the Forbridges. Forbridge family, they did sing We Are the Forbridge Family on the founding of Forbridge Family Day, but that wasn't a major holiday. But they instead of going carol, they would go caroling on bikes. They lived in a climate that was, like I said, bike friendly, like, you know, 9 months out of the year, I mean, 10 or 11 if you wore a slicker and you were willing to get a little bit damp or chilled. And so in their holiday season, they would sing, they would go a caroling. And they even tried fancy things like a barreling, but then Papa Forbridge said, that's too much. You know, we can't associate that with the fast bikers, because how are you going to care? Because of the Doppler effect, if you were going fast, then caroling would be pointless. And ideally, they would do loops. So they were pretty good bikers, even though they were leisure bikers. And if you bike enough, you get used to biking. Like, so Forbridge was always very fit for slow, you know, because sometimes they'd use lower gears, you know, not even going slow. They'd go up and down hills, you know. But deep down in a place that Forbridge couldn't even see, there was a part of Forbridge that wanted to go fast, of course. And every once in a while, Forbridge would catch some speed on a downhill and feel that thrill. And Papa Forbridge would say, please apply your brakes equally, you know, in the Forbridge way, so that we maintain a reasonable pace and control of our bikes. And, you know, what Forbridge did fantasize, one day I'll be, you know, just barely on the edge, wind whipping through my hair. You know, where my even, because he saw people with their cheeks, would they be going so fast down the hill, their cheeks would be moving. Or, you know, he did have some crushes that went by him and their hair was flowing behind them. Maybe even their clothes were billowing. And but for the most part, Forbridge said, like a lot of us, adaptable and, you know, conforms to the family values. And so it wasn't like a hard push down and into the subconscious. But Forbridge said, we don't go fast. You're right. And sometimes what happens with that is that you become overly resistant to change. As we've all learned in our own different ways, and Forbridge eventually, and you know, Forbridge had Forbridge's own, they had their own ups and downs, right? So their, you know, their mama and their papa, they went to ride bikes somewhere, you know, not in Northern Europe, somewhere so far north, the bikes probably were made of, you know, clouds or, you know, big farm in the sky type bikes. And Forbridge also didn't realize at the time that there was unrealistic ideals involved, both with pleasing mom and papa Forbridge, but like living out the ideals that Forbridge had created were when, you know, your mind's still developing. And so Forbridge said, okay, like I'm going to dedicate my life to leisure biking and making biking leisurely for everyone. In this going fast or putting batteries on bikes or engines on bikes or making bikes, you know, bike racing in a contained area on a track. That's, Forbridge was like, that's a different world. I ride a bike outdoors. And eventually, so Forbridge kind of knew their calling. They said, one day I'm going to be, you know, bicycle enforcement officer, you know, with the bike squads. Forbridge really thought, I'm living my dream here. I ride a bike. I get paid to ride a bike leisurely. Like I ride a bike leisurely, right? And, it was actually part of the bike squad's rules. Don't ride fast. Set a good example first. The great karmic wheel, they called it. Like, if someone's riding fast, you know, eventually they'll slow down. And great karmic wheel of the bike, you know, the great bike and the bike that on which the spoke on which we all our lives turn. Or our own internal, you know, find your own internal grips or whatever. I don't know. There's a lot to, you know, understand about that lifestyle. They didn't have separation of rules and belief systems in this world. So it was like, it was a combo type thing. And was it Nosebridge? Bridge Nose? Forbridge was into it. He said, okay, I'm into this. But I'm not into, and every once in a while, Forbridge would get carried away and go a little fast when they saw somebody going fast and they wanted them to go slow. And they get called into the boss's office and she would say, Forbridge, we've been over this before. Tell me, you know, okay, we believe in the karmic, you know, turning of the wheel and that everyone must slow down eventually. And, you know, that, you know, we have a system to get them a ticket anyway, so you don't have to go after them or even try to catch up to them, even if it's just slightly a faster pace than leisure. But Forbridge, Forbridge was by the book, but not always. And so then Forbridge would get very upset and say, oh man, I did it again. And every once in a while, Forbridge would, you know, push their bike, and toss it and say, man, I'm sick and tired of this thing. But, you know, the bigs were watching. And then they tried to mentor Forbridge. And they say, you know, you got a hot temper, kid. You got to get that under control. It's going to eat you up and, you know, make your wheels go flat. You know, this one person they tried said, you know, I went out on hottest day of the year. My tires melted when I stopped moving, but if I was moving too fast, they would have melted too. Forbridge did some quick math and they said, wait, what? And, you know, deep down, Forbridge was in conflict, right? Wanted to go fast, want to go fast, but couldn't, you know, could you know, do like, it's not easy living that way, right? And Forbridge was also committed outwardly to this, this life, right? This is my life. This is what I'm into. But there was one day, Forbridge, you know, after this happened, because then Forbridge thought, well, maybe I'll start running after the bikes. Maybe then I can run fast. This is one of the trails Forbridge went down. So I can run fast, right? If I can't bike fast, I can run fast. And they, you know, a couple of people said, "What are you doing, kid? You can't run faster than a bike. You're already on a bike moving at a leisurely pace. You could barely run faster than that." But Forbridge thought about all the lessons he learned from his family and said, wait a second, no one ever said anything about running fast. No one's going to tell me no. And Forbridge got into running as a hobby, right? Running fast. And then actually now this is where you get into mechanical stuff. Forbridge was also had a very mechanical mind. You know, you learn to fix your own bikes. You learn to, you know, maintain them. And Forbridge learned to make this, what do you call that thing? A kickstand. Like he called it a flick stand, so that Forbridge could jump off their bike and start running. Now, this is, you know, especially if you're moving at a leisurely pace, don't do this because this is fiction. And Forbridge was, a genius. Also wearing a helmet at all times, even when running. But and it had a special bike, you know, with this tubes, so this was easy. So I don't want you to imagine that's just like a regular old 10-speed. This is a fictional world, you know, bike-based belief system and governance. But we're not, that's not what this story is about. Thank goodness. But so, like when Forbridge was working, if the time was right, the first couple, like now Forbridge slowly built up to this and said, okay, I'm going to be in a running. I'm going to build up my sprint speed, a little bit of distance, but a lot more intervals, whatever that kind is called, where you Tabata running and all that stuff. Whatever the other one is, Faraltech, a lot of intervals and sprints, but again, some distance. Forbridge is more interested in that one day this is going to come in handy. And also, it was slightly thrilling to run fast, but it wasn't all the way there. So it's kind of like, you know, like, I don't even know, going to a candy store and not buying the candy, I guess. You say, well, I smelled the candy. I tasted a free sample, but only one free sample per guest. And Forbridge thought about how they did that a lot as a family and said, wait a second. So Forbridge got into this and said, okay, I've invented my kickstand. One day I'm going to hop off my bike while it's moving at a leisurely pace in a safe, 100% safe way that I've practiced over and over and over again. And I'll catch up with somebody and bust them, you know, for whatever, you know, biking without signals, biking in an aggressive manner, biking in a BIAMs, all this stuff. So then one day that's what Forbridge saw is like someone doing all those things, no turn signals, weaving, yelling, spitting, biking in an aggressive manner. And Forbridge said, okay, I'm going to follow at a leisurely pace. It's a pretty busy day. And when they slip up, I'm going to run after them and chase them down and bust them. If I can't, you know, it's a conflict. You know, there's two sides to every line or two ends or whatever. And Forbridge was trying to live on both of them unsuccessfully, right? Conflict, trying to pump up the front tire to put air in the back tire. It's not going to happen, kid. No one ever told Forbridge that yet. But so Forbes chased this person down, right? And I think that's what they said to them, because they actually stopped. They said, "Did you run after me?" They laughed. Forbes said, "Yeah, you're biking in an aggressive manner." And they said, "Was I? I was just having fun." And Forbes said, "It didn't look like fun to the people." Like, I said, "I was safe. I didn't bump. You know, I just was too, like." And Forbes said, "What about people that don't enjoy people biking in an aggressive manner? Or, you know, you spit," and he said, "In the grass, I spit. I know what I'm doing. I know how to spit in a somewhat polite manner that won't please everybody, but that at least is respectful to those people, you know, whatever." Like, mostly I was shooting, you spit in the sewer. And Forbes said, "I guess you did." And they said, "Listen, kid, you got to loosen up. You're pumping your front tire, you know, inflate your back tire. Don't you see that? If you ever want to, live life, you know, there's a bunch of us that bike like we're free, and you know where to find us." They went off. Forbridge said, "Wow." And then Forbridge got back to their bike, and there was other bike officers, bike squatters there. And they were like, "We're going to have to write you up for this. You can't just leave your bike. Where were you? Why is your bike? What is this kick? This isn't a regulation kickstand. This is some sort of flick stand. Is this spring loaded?" And they said, "We're going to have to bring you in to meet with the boss again." And they brought up, and the boss said, "What happened?" Forbridge said, they said, "Who?" They said, "Sorry, boss. I'm sorry you're so upset you can't say my name. But, I was trying to, someone was biking aggressively, and I just ran after them. And Forbridge actually, another lesson, maybe some Forbridge told untruth and said, "I was tying my shoe and I couldn't get back on my bike in time. And I just happened to run after them because that's what I found myself doing. They weren't that far. I guess I lost track of time." And yeah, that's a spring-loaded flick stand. I was working on it to preserve the life of tires after, you know, remember the boss before you that used to be around here to try to mentor us. They're always talking about hot pavement. I can't get it out of my head, that hot pavement. And I said, "Is there a way to lift both wheels of the bike off the hot pavement?" And the boss, she said, "Wow. I've always been bothered by hot pavement since those idioms or whatever, they were trying to instill in me too. But I don't know. There's something about your story that doesn't quite add up. Who did you talk to? Did you write a ticket? And what was the bike number?" And Forbridge realized that they didn't. They said, "Well, it's like this person, and they looked kind of tough. They had on a jean jacket with no sleeves on. And on the bike back, it had a patch. And it was called 403 or something." And the boss, she said, interesting. You didn't get the bike number or their name or anything? You just let them ride off into the sunset?" And they said, I was confused by this because I had been tying my shoe and I had to get back. I wanted to get back to my, you know, my bike." And the boss, she said, "I don't know about any of this. You're going to have to take a week off of work, unpaid, and you can leave your bike here and also give us the plans for the flick stand." And obviously, like, on the surface to the, you know, low under the surface for old Four Bridge, this was pretty not great news. You know, all those of us familiar with stories will say, oh, don't worry, it's all going to work out in an adventure and all that. But for Four Bridge, it was like, this was their way of life. You know, it was like, what do you mean? I'm going to lose my job here. Then what? My life has no meaning. I should say this, that Four Bridge was also devastatingly handsome. And when I say devastatingly handsome, no matter what, you'd say, woof, man. Whether you were attracted to them or you were feeling like a FOMO, like, man, I wish I looked like, does that person know? Like, I would like to know what it looks like to look like that. But Four Bridge really was caught up. That wasn't part of Four Bridge was aware of it, but not aware of the power. A bit of aloof, I think, because it would have meant going fast in other ways or something. And so, but Four Bridge was out walking with a sense of like a puppy dog lost. And, you know, there's nothing more handsome than a handsome lost puppy dog that with steely blue eyes, who's reevaluating, like in the midst, you know, they're in the midst of a personal dilemma that they don't even realize is a personal dilemma, a real one, that's a call to adventure. And so Nosebridge was walking around, Four Bridge, and eventually they bumped into somebody, and it was somebody wonderful. She said, excuse you. And Forbridge said, excuse me. So sorry about that. I was just doing some thinking. And she said, that's quite a furrow on your brow there. What do you see? You must be thinking about something important, because you look furrowous. And Forbridge was like, what? She made this for, you know, her forehead would not furrow in that way. But when she wrinkled her forehead and her dimples came out, there's nothing Forbridge could do but laugh, because she was also smiling while furrowing her brow. And her eyes, instead of the normal furrow, you know, they lit up. Forbridge couldn't think of anything to say. And I don't know if the ability to go talk like this comes with a good looks, too, but I said, thanks, it needed that. She said, no problem, I'm here every day. And Forbridge said, oh, like, is that like really? Or are you just saying that? Or are you just here today? Because I guess I got the right day. And she said, no, I work on this shave ice truck is mine right here that you bumped into me in front of us. How about a shave ice? Forbridge said, is this this is your shave ice stand? And she said, it's a truck that's parked here. So, yes, it is. Forbridge said, yeah, I'd love one, but how about I come and buy you one after you get off of work? And she laughed again, the kind of laugh that makes your hair, you know, that makes you, you know, they say, holy cow. And she said, sure, but I'll charge you full price. And make sure to tip, you know, maybe we could skip the ice and get dinner instead, because I'll probably be hungry for dinner, because even if I have shaved, you know, and Forbridge said, okay. So they went out to dinner, and Forbridge was immediately smitten, then they went out again. But there's something, she was busy, Forbridge also noticed that The shaved ice business was incredible. Like the cash flow was monumental for such a small stand. And that's interesting. And she also was like, "We want to go biking." And Forbes was like, "No, I'm taking a break." And she said, "Why?" And Forbes says, "Complicated family stuff, work stuff." And she said, "Well, you look pretty fit." And Forbridge said, "I am." And then she laughed at that because she said, "Who says that except for people like that actually are?" And she said, "I like you a lot." Forbridge said, "Me too." And then Forbridge laughed because Forbridge said, "I mean, you," like, and they laughed together. They kissed. And eventually she learned that Forbridge could run pretty fast while she was, like, the same speed for a distance while she was leisurely riding. So they did that for a time. And eventually she learned that, Forbridge was getting ready to go back to work for Bike Squad. And she said, "You work for Bike Squad?" And Forbridge said, "Yeah, I did. I don't know if I still will." Got into some, and she said, "Okay, well." But Forbridge said, "Oh, is that a, like," and she said, "It's fine, I guess." She said, "But I'll tell you what, I'm trying to run my shave ice business. I don't want to associate with any of the, governing institutions. So can you do me a favor and not come by, in uniform or talk about it at all? I'm sorry, but it's just something I could tell you later, maybe one day." And Forbes said, "Okay, as long as you don't ask me to go fast on a bike when I get back on to ride." And she laughed because she said, "Are you serious?" And Forbes said, "Yeah, it's personal. I'll tell you about it one day." And then even though they were both in their own personal dilemma, there was still an established intimacy there based in truth, but not full knowledge of your own truth. They just, and so then they kissed, like a light kiss, but one that, there was like fireworks going off. Holy cow. Like their hearts had like touched one another for real, like and metaphorically. I mean, definitely only for metaphorically, definitely not for real. Because that wouldn't be possible. But, and then the next day, Forbridge went back to work and they said, "Did you think about, we looked at this thing, you're like, this is amazing stuff." And the boss said, "I want to introduce you to a different division of the department." Because you're no longer going to be like riding around and doing official business. You're going to be doing official business, but unofficially. And Forbes said, "What?" And they said, "Come on in this other division. This is the division where people bike fast sometimes, occasionally when necessary." And this is a pretty drawn out part of the story, so I won't get into it. But basically, the boss said, I saw you had an edge, and it takes an edge to work in this department. No one even knows about it. And officially, since you were, off work, your story's going to go to all your coworkers and everybody out there that you've been let go because of, using non-OEM parts on a company bike, jumping off your bike and running, repeated times going fast. Also, we heard about you throwing your bike around. So you're no longer going to be, but you will still be, like, with us as part of the department. You're still a member of Bike Squad, just a member of Secret Bike Squad. And Forbridge said, "Okay, sounds cool, actually. So I'll be able to go fast occasionally." Like, and then Forbridge met the rest of the department, variety of personality types. The whole thing. Very, very archetypal experience, Secret Bike Squad. And there's something about it that it felt very, like a lot of the archetypes were not the kind of fuzzy archetypes here. So, you know, that they were still by the book. It was almost like these people had gotten into Secret Bike Squad because they loathed going fast, even faster than the regular run-of-the-mill person like Forbridge that loathed going fast. Because everything was about recuperating after occasionally riding your bike faster than at a leisurely pace. And maybe it was because Forbridge had fallen in love and taken some time off work that this just seemed too extreme. And maybe because for a split second, Forbridge thought, "When I'm going to be able to go fast and be free because my heart's been running free mostly. And it's been in the arms of another who I feel like has seen me or has had a glimpse into me that I'm aware that this is, you know, this is just a kind of, whatever. I don't know. I don't have the complicated words to describe it. You know, part of a system, a wheel that the Khaleesi would say is not acceptable. But Forbridge went along with it because... a lot of these thoughts were still bubbling, and I'm only able to put them together because I get to tell the tale and try to, you know, this was a training, and it didn't just happen in 1 minute. Just like Forbridge didn't fall in love with the nameless person they were in love with in a minute. It only took too few days. This training took a few weeks. And it kind of worked out because Forbridge had said, I swear, sworn to secrecy of Secret Bike Club. So even going back to Shaved Ice Place to see Dimpleina, it'd be easier if her name was like Mia, but Dia. And she said, "Well, how'd your first day back at work come? Thanks for coming in your regular clothes." And Forbridge said, "I don't work there anymore. I've been let go. I'm working at my uncle's shop now. Working on leisurely bicycles that can only, bicycle governance 101. That way I could keep paying the old bills." And she laughed at that, and she said, "So you're not on Bike Squad anymore?" And she was very happy about it, so happy about it that Forbridge said, "Well, I didn't realize it's such a big deal. Why is it such a big deal to you that I'm not on Bike Squad anymore?" And she said, "It just is," and she kissed him, and she said, "You'll understand when you meet my family." And Forbridge said, "Oh boy, I'm going to meet your family. Barely ever talk about them." And she goes, "Well, I haven't not, you know," she goes, "my family is," she goes, "don't worry about it." And Forbridge said, "Okay." Now, meanwhile, back at the Secret Bike Squad, they said, there's this, group of people that ride their bikes really fast. They call themselves the Furrow Free. And, we also suspect that they're doing other stuff and making money doing it, they're representing without being taxed, which is, that's not going to fly. So we want you to get all the info you can. And they showed Forbridge the members of this. And the person that Forbridge had met was pretty low down, Furrow Free. But, it was this guy, Don, and a couple other people. But Don was sort of leader. And it just so happened that the next day was the day Forbridge was supposed to eat dinner with Dia's family. And, of course, went over and Dia met Forbridge at the door and hugged him and kissed him and said, "I want to show you around." And she said, "This is my cousin. This is her partner. This is, old Squiggles. you know, don't worry, Squiggles is a real grouch. You know, and then went out to the backyard and said, this is the heart of my family, my brother Don. And Forbert said, you know, and then Don turned around from the grill, and it was Don from the secret bike squad that they're looking into. And then Forbert realized that a lot of them had furrow-free jackets. Don said, I heard you used to work for a bike squad. You got fired, and Forbert said, yeah, like I tricked out my bike, and I went too fast too many times, and then I would, so they let me go. And Don just laughed and said, well, it's good to have you here. Dia seems to love you. Maybe I'll learn to like you or tolerate you. Hardy har, har. And this pattern went on for a little while. And meanwhile, Forbert did not tell work that he's hanging with, they said, we want you to get in and get into these furrow-free races where you could earn some money. We'll even stake you. And eventually, you know, Don and Forbert became kind of not buddies, but close enough and said, hey, why don't you come out to what we do at night to our bit larger family? And Forbert said, okay. And they went out. And it was actually like a beautiful, like a biking festival. There was bike races, but there was also, you know, different styles of bike races. There was family stuff. It was wholesome. I mean, there was a section where you say, okay, that's a, like, but like for the most part, it was like an experience. And there was a lot of equipment, you know, helmets and elbow pads and knee pads and bike repair, scrape cleaning. And Forbert said, what is this? And he said, this is a furrow free club, kid. He tapped him right on his furrow. And he goes, no furrows allowed. Hardy har har. And Forbert said, well, that's just the way I am. And Don said, we'll see if we can't do something about that. I want you to go on a dirt bike race with me and go as fast as you can. And they did. And then they did it again the next weekend. And then they did, you know, different races. But Forbert started to see that this was its own belief system, that this was a community. I guess it was an unstructured belief system, but they believed in going fast and free and fun, for, you know, but in a way that supported one another. Or, yeah, if you rode on the dirt, sometimes the dirt rode on you, but family's there to pick you up, right? I think that's what Don said one time. And now, meanwhile, Forbert was pretty good at these bike races, different ones. And so Forbert started to earn some money. And then Forbert said, what do I do with this money? Because... And Don said, well, you don't have very much right now, so don't worry about it. But eventually, it depends on if you want to be, you're outside of the system now, kid. And so you have to figure out a way to put the money back in the system, or you remain outside the system. And Forbert says, what's the system? He said, well, we live in a place where there's an official belief system and an official government, and they like to take money twice a week, you know, four times a year and on Sundays, too, and in a non-optional manner. And so, but this is not, you know, because this is kind of its own, it's not its own belief system. We don't run counter to their beliefs. I mean, I guess we do, but we, just because we believe in riding fast and safe doesn't mean it negates them riding at a leisurely pace. You understand? And Forbert said, ever since I met your sister, I understand right here. And Don cried a little bit because he said, because that's where your furrow melts away, by the way, right there. And he hugged him. And he said, explained to like how that's what the shaved ice stand did, but also generated its own money, and Dia liked running it and came up with their own, you know, mixes and all that stuff. And, but eventually, you know, Secret Bike Squad was saying, you got to get some results here, man. Like, and then they started putting a secret biker on him. So then what happened was they figured out the shaved ice thing first, and me and Dia got it in trouble, but no one knew why, not even Forbridge at first, till he went over to meet her for a date, and Don said she got run in because somehow they figured out about the shaved ice being a business, you know, that no shaved ice place could generate, you know, $40 million a year or whatever. And I guess that's, you know, and Don was mad at Don's self instead of anybody else. And, you know, just said, I knew we should have expanded. And Forbes said 40, and Don said, I'm just kidding, but too much, not enough shaved ice. Needed more than one banana stand, as they say. So then Forbes, went back, put, you know, three and three together and went back to Secret Bike Club and said, what do you, you've been following me? And they said, you're darn right we've been following you because you haven't been following the rules, kid. We're aware that you're sitting at, you know, that you made money. Bike, we could see the joy in your heart. Look at this picture. Your furrow has decreased 80%. Blah, blah, blah. And then it was really boring part of the, because then Forbridge had secretly been getting a patent based on their, like all their work with the Flick stands, because ended up there was way other applications. And and also Forbridge had hired forensic, like numbers people. And they said, actually, like the shaved ice stand has paid everything, and in some sense, it's not even like, I guess it's a misrepresentation because this was all being done in the secret bike courts, you know, CBCs or whatever, or SBCs, and Forbridge was like. So this isn't going to stand. I'm going to do something about this. And then what happened was they leaked the things to Don, the secret bike squad, to totally put so that Forbridge would have no other options. And then there was this big chase where Forbridge was chasing Don, and they, you know, they're chasing each other. And, Forbridge said, well, listen, like, finally they were like, why are we chasing each other when we should just talk this out? And Forbridge explained everything. First, Don was really upset. And he said, we have to race for it, the forensic audit, and everything. You know, and if I win, you give me all the audit stuff and you never see my, you never see Dia again or me or anybody. But Forbes said, I got one other piece of secret, you know, leverage. And Don said, I don't want to know about it because I don't trust you anymore, you know, but I kind of do. Well, I love you, but I don't trust you. And meanwhile, me and my sister, you know, in trouble because of you. And Forbridge said, okay, well, if I win, I want to be part of the family forever. Meaning, you know, your sister and I will get married and you'll accept me and accept, you'll see that I'm trustworthy as a person, not perfectly trustworthy. But even my career at Secret Bike Squad was built on untruths. So they had this big race. It was a multi-stage race, multi-type of bikes. Of course, Don dominated the whole time. But there was a section that was like through a mud thing. And what happened was Don had this huge lead, so that they said, when I go through the mud thing, you have to go at a slow, leisurely pace to get through the mud. But as long as I have this giant lead, there's no way this kid's ever going to catch up. And it was the last stage of the race because it was like it takes focus to ride your bike through this deep mud at a leisurely pace. So Don's focused. Now, meanwhile, they set all the rules, and Forbridge was listening. So as soon as Forbridge hit the mud, Forbridge picked up the bike, which was very heavy. And this is why, no, it wasn't a rule. It was like for most people, it would have been impossible to run with the bike through the mud and catch up with Don. But not so for Forbridge, because of their excellent fitness, steely blue eyes, and their experience at running, and probably running with a bike at other times that didn't make it in this story. And so Forbridge won the race, just barely got on their bike and rolled across the finish line right before Don. And then told Don about the patent on the kickstand, or the flick stand, and that they had a patent, and it was powerful multi-use device, and that even though there was no separation of belief systems and governance, there was a third, you know, there was the third power, or whatever they call it, with, you know, where stuff was decided like that. That's why the forensic audit went so well, too. And now they had this patent, they couldn't just take the patent from me. They'd have to compensate me. And they'd already started putting these flick stands on every bike in the department, on Bike Squad and Secret Bike Squad, and even Kitty Bike Squad. And Don said, so? And said, so I'll give him a patent in exchange for them realizing that there was nothing, you know, that we'll just close down the shave ice business. And all be good, you know, and then we'll go back to, and Don said, I'll have to think about it. And he needed some time. Dia needed some time. But, you know, love and family, they always meander their way back. So when they realized that Forbridge's plan worked, they were all amazed. And eventually they all held each other back in open arms and happiness. Is one big family, the end. And that was the story of the Fast and Furrowous. Good night. All right, I want to thank everybody who became a patron recently. Laurel, Raquel, and Payne. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Marty, Dave, and Ariane. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Kira, Carl, and Marsha. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Maz, Sarah, and Lisa. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Michelle, Aaron, and Star, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Mel, Sarah, and Crystal, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Christine, Teresa, and Evan, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Joe, Don, and Taylor, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Desmond, Evie, and Jill, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Lee, Clint, and Robert, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Colette, Yuho, and Brittany, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Sierra, Marita, and Amanda, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Holly and Bell Guy, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. And Cody and Julianne, thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. Thanks, everybody, for supporting our show. Literally comes out free twice a week because of people you just heard that support the show on Patreon and the listeners who support our sponsors. Couldn't do it without all of you. Thank you so much. We grow the show by spreading the word. And if you want to join our community, be a part of, sign up at sleepwithmepodcast.com/midnightmission, sleepwithmepodcast.com/midnightmission. Join in, hang out, catch up, and I'll see you there. Thanks and good night. Oh, and no, here's a tuck you in sponsor. That's why we've been able to push almost 500 free episodes out, where last year at the same we only had 200. Thanks to the sponsor. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only. And then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, and whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcast, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in the, my app is the Boar Friends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out. And that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is a bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10... Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series, I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever needed support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. So if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like, you don't need support, but if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these, this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, or, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in the, at the end of the free show too. But yeah, like this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback, feedback@sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support, support at supercast.com. And good night.